Chapter 11. Draco looks down at Harry for a long moment. He frowns, touches the man's cheek.
Are you sure you want to come with me? I was under the impression that you were hiding. The port is probably swarming with auras. If you were missed yesterday in the chaos, you're certainly not going to be missed today.
He doesn't say, especially if you show up with me.
You're forgetting, says Harry, that I'm the one that called the DMLE to the scene. They know I'm involved. And
Harry draws off, glances away.
And you're worried about what they'll do to me if I show up without you.
Harry bites his lip, and Draco places a gentle finger under his chin, bringing his green eyes back to himself.
I live in reality, Harry. I've had enough delusions to last me a lifetime.
It is what it is. I cannot control what people choose to believe, but I can control how I react to it.
Draco moves to the door, then turns back.
I am a grown man.
I would much prefer it if you stayed home, Harry. I can take care of this without you.
I know you can, but I want to be there. Whatever happened out there, facing everyone will be frustrating, but waiting for you to come back will be unbearable.
Draco nods, covers the distance between them in two steps, and leans in to kiss Harry once more. He almost reconsiders leaving the house entirely. They can just stay here. He can drag Harry upstairs, lay him out on his bed, and strip him of one item of clothing at a time.
Draco's mouth goes a little dry at the thought, and he forces himself to pull away instead of deepening the kiss.
Life doesn't go away just because one doesn't want to face it.
Shall we? He says, offering Harry his arm.
Harry nods, taking it, and together they walk out of Malfoy Manor.
The sickening smell of fire still floats through Plymouth Port. The wind offers both momentary respite and makes it impossible to ignore the stench.
Auras, faces shiny with filtration spells, shuffle about. They talk amongst themselves, casting over piles of debris, trying to find evidence of foul play.
Taking point from the auras, Draco pulls out his wand and casts a filtration spell on both himself and Harry.
Harry glances up at him gratefully, before hesitating, and looking around them, seemingly remembering where he is.
Draco tries to quiet his own trepidation, placing a soothing hand onto Harry's, where it's still resting on Draco's arm.
Harry looks at their joint hands, and with a very quiet, "sorry," pulls his hand free.
Draco does not anticipate the wave of hurt that comes with the gesture, but he brushes it away.
This is neither the time nor place to announce a budding fragile. It's too early to even call it a relationship, but it is something terribly important. Draco knows it in his bones.
Just then, an aura notices the two of them. The man blinks at Harry and him in surprise and clear recognition.
Draco straightens, smooths his features to the focused yet pleasant look he uses for all his business interactions, and approaches him.
"Aura Potter," says the young man.
Sorry. "Mr. Potter, that is. Mr. Potter, Mr. Malfoy, you shouldn't really be here."
"Good day," says Draco.
"Aura?"
"Virgil," the man replies.
"Aura Virgil, unfortunately, I have a significant number of shipments heading to this very port as we speak, and it's important for me to understand how many of them should be redirected.
Could you tell me how long until the port is free to start up operations again?"
"Once we're done with the investigation, Mr. Malfoy."
Draco shrugs.
"I assumed as much. Do you think there's anyone who has a more concrete timeline?"
The aura licks his lips, glances nervously from Harry to Draco and back, then says,
"Head Aura Weasley, sir."
He clears his throat.
"He's over there."
He points, and sure enough, there's a fiery head of orange hair, bobbing in the distance.
"Weasley is head aura?" Draco asks after they thank the man.
Potter nods. "I didn't want it."
Draco finds it incredibly hard to resist making a quip about Weasley picking up Potter's sloppy seconds, but judging by the glare Harry throws his way,
he heard him anyway, loud and clear.
"He can hardly have been qualified for the job at his age," Draco says instead.
"What he lacks in experience and discipline," Harry mutters under his breath, "he more than makes up for in zeal."
Draco frowns. Whatever that means, it does not sound like a compliment.
"Ron," says Harry, when they reach him.
Weasley turns around. He's almost as tall as Draco now, wide and healthy. Clearly the role of head aura suits him.
Weasley looks at the two of them with unabashed curiosity, but he must have anticipated their arrival, because surprise only flickers when he takes a closer look at the filtration spell covering Harry's nose and mouth.
"Not very wise, Harry," Weasley sneers, "letting Death Eaters cover you with their magic."
When Harry doesn't respond, he goes on, "So, this is where you've been hiding? With Malfoy?"
He snorts. "Heard you quit your little job at the Department of Magical Animal Control or whatever."
"Drop it, Ron. I'm not here to argue with you."
"What are you here for? To protect your Death Eater?"
"I'm here to make sure you follow regulation to a T."
"I'm one of the good guys, Harry. Haven't you heard? Was right there by your side when we scrubbed the world of all darkness."
He looks at Draco with disdain.
"Or at least most of it."
Harry opens his mouth, but Draco speaks over him.
"Head Aura Weasley, Malfoy Enterprises works closely with Plymouth Port."
"You think I don't know that? Do you imagine for a single second that I don't keep track of your every move?"
Draco inclines his head and acquiesces.
"I'm sure you take your position and the responsibilities that come with it very seriously. I would like to firstly say that my team and I would like to offer you our complete cooperation in your investigation."
"You will cooperate because I order it."
Draco raises an eyebrow but doesn't bite.
"Secondly, in order to keep my operations running smoothly, I need to know what kind of timeline you foresee for your investigation. If the port remains closed for more than 24 hours, I will need to redirect all shipments."
"A fire took out the entire port. Do you think your shipments really matter?"
"Actually, Malfoy Enterprises brings in most of Plymouth Port's revenue, which means that every day my business is forced to relocate has a direct and disastrous effect on their bottom line. In other words, people will start to lose their jobs, and the fire, unfortunate and scary as it was, damaged only material possessions, whereas losing my business will damage real lives. So once more, Head Aura Weasley, if you would be so kind as to tell me if you believe your investigation will take longer than 24 hours, that would be very helpful to me and to the dozens of families that rely on my business to put food on their tables."
Ron snorts.
"Thinking a little much of ourselves," he says, rolling his eyes, "aren't we?"
"No. That is an accurate representation of my business. You don't need to like it for it to be true."
Weasley's mouth spreads into a dangerous sneer when Potter takes a small step forward.
"Ron, just tell him how long you think the investigation will take."
"It will take as long as I say it will."
"Then," says Draco, hiding his frustration behind a thin veil of calm, "the responsibility for every job lost falls onto your shoulders. I will be sure to direct all grievances that come across my desk to you."
Draco's face remains impassive as he inclines his head once more.
"Thank you for your time. Come on, Harry. I still need to speak to the portmaster."
"I always knew you'd end up on the wrong side eventually, Harry," says Ron.
"Careful, though. Go too far, and no amount of fame will be able to save you."
"By the way," says Draco, turning back and giving Weasley a little smirk, "congratulations on the promotion. You must be thrilled. The DMLE's first choice bowed out and made it possible."
Harry's eyes widen, and inexplicably, he looks scared.
"Stop it, you two," he says with a forced laugh. "We're not in Hogwarts anymore. Come on, you wanted to talk to the portmaster."
And with that, he drags Draco away.
Once they're out of hearing range, Harry leans closer.
"You shouldn't have done that," he snaps.
Ron has become far more dangerous than you give him credit for. He won a lot of support in the ministry during the cleanup. He can pull strings you don't even know exist.
Draco frowns down at him.
There's something you're not telling me. But Potter just grows tight-lipped and speeds up his step.
Draco takes Harry with him to the office, lets him take up residence on a transfigured couch with a steaming mug of coffee and a book. And all day, every time he glances in Harry's direction, Draco can't help but smile when seeing him there. Reading or staring at a wall, or watching Draco with a small smile of his own. It feels like preening, he thinks, like a peacock unfolding its tail to impress its mate. And Draco does feel impressive, here, in his element. Able to show Harry that he and his team are collected and competent and very much capable, even in the face of such unforeseen circumstances. Harry does seem very much impressed, and Draco thinks he must be glowing in the warmth of Harry's approval.